This first poem is a deviant haiku. It's called My Ex-Husband's Funeral. No casket, no flowers, no tears. This one is for John Rhett because he edited it. Talking the song over with a friend. The word friend, we agreed, in this song ought to be higher than the rest because it's meaning webs from the sticky logic of this evening and fastens to all other evenings that ought to be. Tonight, I think there ought to be a rock video of a piano surrounded by rouge light and women sitting in electric blue dresses and cigarettes dotting the dark like mercury thermometers dropping temperatures. And you say that there ought to be some men standing around feeling uncomfortable in ties by Paul Sargent, and perhaps one man wearing Cassini shades who believes in some twin fire god. I imagine another man wearing black boots with buckles, the kind I might find under my bed after a good night's rest. And then in another room with a closed door, you hint a jazz dance to the music of ice against a glass wall, until at last some lady day would slide down a drape and she'd be as graceful as Sid Charisse. Yes, that might work, I think. But now we come to this window part where we can see pale stars signal faint promises from the black painted sky. And the sound of low notes bounce rhythmically between threads of light. There's a breeze and I shiver and jokingly say, wind effects. Then notice a maple leaf stuck to the pane. I hear you mumbling something about Freud and how it's all predetermined by the stars. Listen, this sounds more and more like a love song, low and bass as nature, mysterious yet clear as glass. You answer that there ought to be no windows in a song about friends. A few more days, and I call again. Hello? Hello? Is this the number to which I'm speaking? Hello yourself again, and I'm reading a poem by James Schuyler, and he mentions you. But what were you doing out on the Atlantic alone on a weekday, sails billowing? Mooring after 60 years, you flutter about in your space like I like the safety of mine. And neither one of us in our isolated states needs foreign policy. Yet sometimes in the middle of the night, I get as lonely as the moon above Walnut Crossings, looking at would-be lovers, wondering about their secret negotiations. After these few years, I have to tell you what I have never told another man. Your face in the dark, inches from mine, below that bewitching August moon, oh, how its light glistened on the pavement where we stood, was the only man's face that in darkness never frightened me. Okay, this is called Sacrilege. One, sometimes id is so strong, I swear, I would have lusted after Christ. Standing in a sun trap of shells, I wiggle my toes in the sand, stare out to sea, wait for him to row in. What care should I that others watch or whisper about the flush in my face or the raw white cloth drawn up close on my body? They would only suspect what might have been known from the moment I first saw his soft color eyes, that truly he is God. And when, between the sensuous Galilean sky and lucid green sea, my sight should meet angles of boat bearing inward, parting waters, as if there were no waves of resistance, I cross my bare ankles, bend my knees, and sit, a ball of savage energy waiting for explosive completion. I dream liquid color of eyes eternal, eyes of knowing, knowing into one, all knowing, I have no God but this man, Jesus. Two, here we are almost in dark reading the book of God in the lines of black trees. This fog in the hill says, this is no place for questions about past or future, but still there are offerings. Distant Pittsburgh lights provide the perfect setting for the ideal temptation. All this I will give to you. But my real happiness can be had over a salmon and quinoa dinner. And Lord, our laughter puts us in touch, not so much with God or nature, our Father, but for a brief moment with each other. 3, when under the smoky olive trees he tells me of this next life stuff, I want to tell him how it is with me. A woman doesn't fall in love in her mind or spirit or in her heart, but with her whole body she loves. I do not want to be a woman in the next life. Maybe a butterfly carried away on currents of air to a life of nectar and courtship, but no soul. I could be nature's most perfect fiber optics in red and brown metallic tints, live some life in chrysalis, thrive on sunshine and vegetation, and never care a moment for offspring. Even if I should be caught then, I've been pinned before, and still am able to imagine wings fluttering to perfect stillness before being laid in someone's glass case. 4, if I were an angel, death would not touch me, and loving would not hurt. When he touched me, I could feel the largeness of his hand, but his kiss would go unnoticed. I could be a vision, knowable, but not touchable. And with his little apostles, should he leave, I'd throw a stone into the sea and overthrow Babylon, all the while whistling, Alleluia, Alleluia. Okay, and this last one, I was cousins with this woman who worked at the Trib. I worked at the Trib and she worked there, but we didn't know we were cousins until about 10 years in. She passed away shortly before Valentine's Day, and my boyfriend called me up to tell me this. Sunday before Valentine's Day. An evening you call me to tell me my Irish kinswoman is dead. How strange dark wings flutter over reapers. Looking for truth, I find Ruth, leaving judges sitting before kings. She is my favorite Gentile ancestry of the one we love. She helps me glean among the sheaves. Notice your mercy for the living and the dead. I hang up the phone, bathe myself in monk soap, anoint with heaven, prepare to lie down on the threshing floor. I am at your feet and dreaming. Your claim lightens my soul. It is a dream where living and dead convene, remember their unused language, words of memory, anamnesis, carbon compressed, syncopated luminous signals, converse high above clouds and mist. Thank you. Thank you.